morning. It is good to have all of you here this morning. We begin our service by singing the doxology, which is found in the red hymnal number 549. The doxology number 549. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Our call to worship is hymn number 718. With God are wisdom and might. He has counsel and understanding. If he tears down, none can rebuild. If he shuts a man in, none can open. If he withholds the waters, they dry up. If he sends them out, they overwhelm the land. With him are strength and wisdom. The deceived and the deceiver are his. He loosens the bonds of kings and binds a waistcloth on their loins. He makes nations great, and he destroys them. He enlarges nations and leads them away. In his hand is the life of every living thing and the breath of all mankind. Amen. Our first hymn this morning is number 485, Take My Life and Let It Be. Number 485, Take My Life and Let It Be. So thankful for this time that we can have to worship you. And Lord, we come before you with our individual needs and requests that we have in our lives. And Lord, every time that we pray to you, many times it seems to be the same old thing. But God, you remind us again and again that you always want to hear about the needs in our lives, even if it is the same old thing. So God, we come before you not just with the same old thing, but new needs that we have in our lives, things that you have reminded us this week to pray for. We also pray for family members and for friends, for the patients throughout this medical center, for the staff that are working here today, for the families that will be visiting. Lord, we lift them up to you in prayer. And God, as we pray, we also pause to just say thank you that you care about us each individually, and that your desire is for us to always be reconciled to you in all things. Lord, once again, we just are so thankful that we can come and worship you here in this chapel. We do not take this opportunity for granted, and we are so thankful for all the servicemen and women and their families that have made the sacrifices to give us this freedom to worship as we choose. And we thank you for them, and we lift them up to you in prayer as well. And we just praise you. And God, we are so thankful that you taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you for praying with me this morning. Our next hymn this morning is number 382, Be Still My Soul. Number 382, Be Still My Soul. Be still my soul, the Lord is on your side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to your God to order and provide. In every change, He faithful will remain. Soul. Something that God always wants us to be, but it seems to be the most difficult. Because I don't know about you, but I am impatient about a lot of things. But God tells us to be still and trust in Him. Our scripture reading comes from the book of Galatians, chapter 2, beginning with verse 3. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Him. I am saying this so that no one will deceive you with persuasive arguments. For I may be absent in body, but I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see how well ordered you are in the strength of your faith in Christ. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in faith, just as you were taught, overflowing with gratitude. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious God, Lord, we are so thankful that you have taken this act of worship that all of us have provided. And Lord, we are just so thankful that you acknowledge that worship in spirit and truth in our own individual lives. And God, I would ask that you would help me to continue that acknowledgement of that spirit of truth. That the things that I would be saying, the thoughts that would come across in my mind would be coming from you. Help me now, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. You know, one of the things that Lynn and I try to do is we try to go to various events. Used to be with our children, and now it's with our grandchildren. And this past week, our grandson Matthew, he's in third grade, he attends a school where every quarter of their school year, they have what they call a summative. And basically what that means is you have an opportunity as parents or grandparents to go and see what your child is learning. And you get an understanding and a summary, because they summarize the events of that quarter into the different projects and to the different learning lessons that they've had and what the outcome has been during that quarter. So Lynn and I had the opportunity to go, and we went. And at first they have a general session where all the classes come together and they review and they talk about the different projects and they show a video of the children, and the children kind of give their own little testimony in terms of the things that they've learned during that quarter. And then we break up and then we go into separate rooms. But when we were in the general session, there was a gentleman sitting in front of me that had a t-shirt on. And on the back of the t-shirt, it said, "Old guys rule." And the older I get, the better I was. Thank you, honey. Because Lynn saw the t-shirt first, and she was elbowing me. Hey, look at that t-shirt. So the older I get, the better I was. So it was pretty funny, and of course we were joking about it amongst the family that was there. But I'd like to submit to you that the older that we get, it should not be the better that I was. But it should be the older I get, the better I am, the better I become. And that should be a goal for each and every one of us. That the older that we get, the better that we become in our living, the better that we become in Christ. But it doesn't seem to be that way, does it? It seems somehow the older that we get, the more that we think and the more that we ponder how things maybe could have been or should have been. But I think we need to remember that all we have right now is the present time, the present moment. And God takes us just exactly the way that we are this morning. He knows of our past. He knows of us today. He knows of us in the future. And we just have to somehow understand that each day is a new opportunity for us to move forward in our relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And we do that in many different ways, by acts of worship, by singing songs and praises to God, by offering prayers, by reading the scriptures, by worshiping together, about having just general discussions about God and what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ and the different challenges that we face and the struggles that we have. Because God has given us the understanding that all the wisdom and knowledge that we need is actually in Christ. Everything. The understanding about our life, the understanding about our future, the understanding in terms of how we interact with each other, how we are supposed to live with each other. All of those things are in Jesus Christ. So Christ is our example. Christ is the person that we should look to see how he handled specific situations in his life while he was here. And then also allowing for the Holy Spirit to work in our lives in terms of how do we take those lessons that we learn, the knowledge and the wisdom that are in Christ, and how do we apply it to our everyday lives? How do we make it work? How do we seem to reconcile the differences between the two, ourselves and the nature of Christ that we should always be thinking about? So first of all, do we understand that as we walk with God, that we are not by ourselves, but that we have the presence of God in our lives through the Spirit of God, through the Holy Spirit? And do we understand that how we put that to use is every day we use that strength and that power spiritually that God has given us to rely upon Him, to trust Him, and to have faith? It does not mean that we don't have responsibilities. It does not mean that we don't have things that we do on a regular basis. But do all of those things glorify God? Do they strengthen your faith? Do they enhance in terms of what you believe in as a follower of Jesus Christ? Do they enhance your wisdom and knowledge? And I think it's important to understand that as we came to know Jesus Christ as our own personal Savior and we accepted Christ, He set us free from the bondage and the chains of sin in our lives. So we should rejoice every moment of every day because of what Christ has done for us. And I know that that's difficult to do. I know that sometimes we become overwhelmed by events and we really don't think about Christ all the time. We don't think about the things that we should about God because we're busy trying to deal with the struggles that we have, those things that we have to deal with on a regular basis about ourselves and the world in which we are a part of. But we are reminded here this morning that the Spirit of God is always with us, and that we are to strengthen our faith in Christ. And the only way that we can do that is to step out in faith and to trust God for those circumstances. And we have our responsibility. God tells us, I think, the things that we need to work on within the circle of things that we can influence. The boundaries that we have where we know we have limitations in terms of what we can do and how can we respond. But I think God also gives us that wisdom and that knowledge that is in Christ that can extend beyond our boundaries. And that's where faith comes in. That's where faith believing needs to be such a part of our lives. Because if all the knowledge and wisdom is hidden in Christ, we have to take a step of faith in believing what Christ has done for us. Because then if we do that, we see that we become more strengthened in faith. And spiritually, we actually become stronger. And when we become stronger, not in our own way, but in God's way through the presence of His Spirit, we also become emotionally stronger. We'll be able to face those challenges that we have. All of a sudden, we find the right words to say in those difficult circumstances that we are in. Not because of our own knowledge, not because of our own wisdom, but because of the knowledge and the wisdom that we have found in Christ. And each day is a new step. Each day is which we build upon what has happened to us in the previous day. Many times it might be one step, two steps forward and one step back, but it is a process, always desiring to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And it takes courage to do that. It takes courage to do that. Because you are taking a step of faith. You are saying to God in your prayers and in your worship and your thoughts about God, Lord, you know, I know what my limitations are. I know what my boundaries are. I know that there's only so many things that I can influence with my own will. And God, I hope I am doing it the right way. I hope that I am doing it in Christ. But God, I am trusting you in faith to go beyond those boundaries, to go beyond my limitations of what I can control, my limitations of what I can influence. And I'm trusting you. And that's where faith comes in, the trust that God wants us to have. And as we talked about being reconciled, the whole idea that we incorporate forgiveness in our lives, forgiveness of what God has done for us individually, and then we add trust to it and we find ourselves reconciled to God in all things. And a testimony of that reconciliation is how we live our lives. The things that we think about, the things that we respond to. And it does not take away from our own individuality, because God has created you and He has created me in a very unique and special way as individuals. And we need to recognize that. God does not always want us to be the same. Now, there are times that He wants us to be the same in terms of attitude of spirit, attitude of worship, attitude of wanting to know and to understand Christ better. But yet there's that individual part of us that God has created that we need to say, you know what? God, thank you that I am different than everybody else. But yet there's an equality that we have in God. All of us are equal before God. None of us are any better before the eyes of God. All of us have sinned. All of us fall short of the glory of God. All of us need to be reconciled with God. All of us need to be forgiven of our sins before God. So in that sense, together as a body of believers in Jesus Christ, we are together, but yet we are separate. And God wants us to be rooted in the teachings that we have, the teachings of believing in Jesus Christ. And perhaps you can do that in different ways. One of the things I like to do is I like to watch documentaries and I like to watch movies. And I've found a lot of wonderful movies about Jesus Christ and about His life. In fact, right now I'm watching and listening to the one about the Gospel of John. And I found it very enriching because they've actually stayed as close to as they possibly can to the words of Christ in the Gospel of John. So not only am I thinking about Christ, but I'm actually seeing the words of Christ. And of course, there's a dramatic depiction of His life. Whether all of that drama happened, I don't know. There's some artistic license there. But I think I get a sense of really, as I've been going through the book of John, doing that as well, having the Bible by my side, it's kind of interesting how I've been putting together and understanding the knowledge and the wisdom that God wants us to give us through His Son, Jesus Christ. And that's how we build each other up. As we become more aware of the things that we need to work on, we encourage each other to continue to be a follower of Jesus Christ. But it takes courage to do that. For you and I to inspire others, for you and I to encourage others, we have to take a step out in faith. It makes us vulnerable. It makes us vulnerable. And when we become vulnerable, we're putting ourselves out there saying, you know what? Somebody's going to evaluate what I'm saying to them. Somebody's going to judge what I'm trying to say to them. And a lot of times we don't like to be evaluated. We don't like to have people pronouncing judgment on us. We just want to be able to have people hear our words, and if it pertains to them, that's fine. But I know a lot of times I struggle with making myself vulnerable because I am concerned about the judgment and the thoughts of others and whether they accept what I have to say, whether they accept and understand what I truly am trying to put across. But you know, as long as I know that I'm presenting the message that God has given me, and as long as the wisdom and the knowledge that I am trying to share the best that I can, with the help of the Holy Spirit, is from Christ, that's the best I can do. And in the same way, if you feel some fear in terms of wanting to be able to express yourself and to encourage others and to make yourself vulnerable, you know what? You can just do the best that you can and just leave it there. Say, God, you know, I'm doing the best I can to come to a better understanding of myself. I'm doing the best I can to overcome the challenges that I'm facing in my life. I'm doing the best that I can to make myself vulnerable. And God, just take those fears away. But yet it takes courage for us to do that. And then as we see, as we've incorporated those teachings, as we make the effort to want to know the wisdom and knowledge that is hidden in Christ, we find ourselves overwhelming with gratitude and with praise. Praise for the opportunities that we have to make ourselves vulnerable, to share the different things in our lives that have made a difference, to share our weaknesses, to share our faults. And yes, perhaps there are only certain sets of circumstances where you should do that, especially if it's something that's very deep and very personal. But I think God gives us an opportunity to do that, because then we see ourselves in a different light when we share those things. It's almost like, okay, God, I finally said it. I told people the different things that I'm struggling with, the different things that I have faced, the different things that I've tried to overcome. I've made myself vulnerable. People have seen all of my weaknesses. So now, God, when am I going to get in return? And through God's Spirit, God gives us an opportunity to see ourselves in a new way as a follower of His Son, Jesus Christ. Because we've made ourselves vulnerable, and that hurts. But yet God and the power of His Holy Spirit in our lives can provide the healing that we need to have even after it hurts. Because God always wants us to be one in Him, in faith believing. And then we overflow with gratitude in terms of what's going on in our lives. And God, we just say, thank you. I never thought I could feel this way before, God, about the circumstances. I never thought I could feel this way about sharing myself and making myself vulnerable, allowing people to know in the right set of circumstances my failures, because in demonstrating my failures, I can also see my strength. And God, I want to thank you for giving me the courage to do that. Because it is something that we should be attracted to. The wisdom and knowledge that we want to find in Christ is something that we should strive to go after. Something that we should want on a regular basis. And as we take those two steps forward and the one step back, we need to be reminded that God has forgiven us. And those things that are in the past. And God no longer wants us to stare at those things, because when we start staring, we start reliving the past, and God does not want us to do that. For you see, you and I have a new knowledge, a new wisdom, a new understanding of our life that we have found in Jesus Christ. And in doing so, we walk forward in Him. God never wants us to walk backwards, because the backwards part of our lives has been taken care of. God has forgiven us. And it is in that overflowing attitude of thank you, God, and gratitude that we just have such a wonderful attitude about our relationship with God. We desire to worship. We desire to fellowship. We desire to learn more about God's Word. And so consequently, our own attitude about life begins to change. Our attitude about our circumstances, our attitudes about people. And instead of being afraid, we find ourselves growing in strength and actually having more courage to go beyond that we ever thought we could before. Going beyond our own boundaries in faith believing because of what Christ has done for us. And then we see every day in the different activities that we have, that we do those things that please God. We do those things that praise God. We do those things that honor our relationship with God. And then we just have more and more of an attitude of gratefulness and of gratitude. And our knowledge and our wisdom in Christ begins to overflow. And we just say, wow, God, I never thought I could be here today the way that I am, praising you, honoring you. And then we begin to see that God is making us better, better than I was. God is making better than I ever thought I could ever be. And we just have that whole idea of where God is with us, walking in our lives, understanding that as we continue the process, God is continuing to develop us, making us stronger and stronger and stronger in Him, not in ourselves. And the struggles that we thought we could never overcome, all of a sudden we find ourselves overcoming them and being ahead of the game, not in our own strength, but in the strength that we have found in the wisdom and the knowledge of Christ. So it is my hope and prayer that as we leave this day and we adopt the fellowship and the worship that God wants us to have, that we adapt to the things that God wants us to do in our lives following His Spirit of truth, that we have a newness in which we live each day, anew in following Him. Amen. Let us take a few moments and prepare our hearts for communion as we give a testimony that we want to reach beyond the boundaries of our lives and take that step out in faith in all things. Let us pray. Gracious God, Lord, we are so thankful that you have reminded us that you want us to have a spirit of overflowing gratitude and praise and thanksgiving to you. And God, we are doing that in our hearts and our minds. Lord, we know that you're working through us. We know that you've showed us the boundaries and our limitations of what we can do. Yet God, in faith believing, we want to go beyond that because we want to trust in you. And in everything that we do, we want to be reconciled to you. So God, I just want to praise you and thank you that we can have this communion time together. Thank you for everyone that has come to worship you today, because we do so because we love you. Thank you, God, for forgiving us and loving us just the way we are. In Christ's name, amen.
From the Lord, what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us partake together. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let us partake together. Our closing hymn is number 476, Give of Your Best to the Master, number 476. Thankful that we've had this opportunity to acquire more knowledge and wisdom in your Son, Jesus Christ. And God, help us that that may be a goal each day so that we can grow and become more courageous than we were the day before. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding be with you now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
We have partial power, so some things work and some things don't work. So who knows, in the middle of the service, all the lights might come on at once. I don't know. We'll have to see. But we'll do the best we can with what we have. Please join me in our chapel service this morning, and we begin by singing the doxology, which is found in your red hymnal number 549. The doxology number 549. Is hymn number 718. With God are wisdom and might. He has counsel and understanding. If he tears down, none can rebuild. If he shuts a man in, none can open. If he withholds the waters, they dry up. If he sends them out, they overwhelm the land. With him are strength and wisdom. The deceived and the deceiver are his. He looses the bonds of kings and binds a waistcloth on their loins. He makes nations great and he destroys them. He enlarges nations and leads them away. In his hand is the life of every living thing and the breath of all mankind. Amen. Our first hymn this morning is number 409. I will sing the wondrous story. Number 409.
Sing it with the saints in glory.
gathered by the crystal sea.
Let us pray. Our gracious God, we come before you this morning in the situations that we are in. Lord, you know of the challenges that we are facing, and God, we lift them up to you right now. Lord, we lay before you the anxieties that we have, the emotional things that we are struggling with, the physical pains that we have, the financial situations that we are in. Lord, we just lift them up to you. And God, you remind us again and again that everything that we do in our lives, the first thing you want us to do is to pray. And Lord, we are doing that right now. And Lord, thank you for the events in our lives that have brought us to our knees at times when you needed to get our attention. And the only way that you could do that is to show us and to remind us that in all circumstances we are to cry out to you and pray. Lord, we think of the family members and friends and the needs that they have in their lives. We think of the patients at this medical center, the staff that is working today, the family that will be visiting. Lord, we just lift them up to you all right now. And in the same way, Lord, we'd ask that you would hear their prayers, that you would hear their intentions, that you would give them the wisdom and the discernment that we all want to have to better understand your will for our lives. And Lord, we do not take this opportunity for granted to worship here in this chapel. We thank you for the servicemen and women of this great nation that have served in peace and in war, that have guaranteed these freedoms to us. And we are reminded and we are so thankful that you taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Thank you for praying with me this morning. Our next hymn is number 412, Have You Been to Jesus? Number 412, Have You Been to Jesus?
Are you walking?
spotless are they, white as snow. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Our scripture reading this morning is found in the book of Psalms, chapter 119, beginning with verse 105. Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. I have taken an oath and confirmed it that I will follow your righteous laws. I have suffered much. Preserve my life, Lord, according to your word. Accept, Lord, the willing praise of my mouth and teach me your laws. Though I constantly take my life in my hands, I will not forget your law. The wicked have set a snare for me, but I have not strayed from your precepts. Your statutes are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart. My heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious God, Lord, we just thank you for this time that we can have together. And God, I would ask that you would just bless everyone that is here because they've made a special effort to come and worship you, regardless of whatever their reason is, regardless of whatever their motivation is. They are here, God, because they've made a choice to be here. And Lord, I would ask that you would bless them because of that choice. Help me now, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Well, I hope your week went well. Mine was a pretty normal week, if any of us have any normal week, right? You heard that term, the new normal. When I hear that term, I'm like, what does that mean, the new normal? The new normal should be experienced every day if you are a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ. A couple of thoughts to take away from this week that I've had in various conversations with a variety of people. A friend of mine, I was talking with him the other day and we were having a casual conversation, and he actually said to me, "Do you call yourself a Christian?" I gave him an honest answer. I go, "Sometimes," because I must admit, in a conversation with my friend, I was sharing with him that I don't always meet the standard. I fail as a Christian. And I said, after all, if you are pursuing perfection, you're not always going to measure up. So even though I call myself a Christian, many times my behavior is not to the perfection standard that I should be measured by. Does that make sense? I think a lot of you can identify with that. We pursue perfection because of what we see Christ has done for our individual lives, what the Holy Spirit has presented to us as we make the effort and to do our best to follow God's will. But we do not always measure up to the word Christian. And that's okay. Because as long as we are aware of that, you and I will continue to strive after that perfect example that has been set before us, that perfection in our lives that should be the lamp of our feet, that should be the light of our path. As the psalmist writes, he here specifically talks about the law and what those laws mean to him. For us as a follower of Jesus Christ, because Christ came to fulfill the law, the perfection that we see in terms of the precepts that we are to follow is in the life of Christ, because he fulfilled the law. That's what the scriptures tell us. And because he fulfilled the law, you and I are no longer under the law, but under the grace of God. A thought about the grace of God that I think for me gives a better understanding of what grace represents. We've all heard the expression, everybody gets a trophy. Who has not heard that expression?
Everyone gets a trophy. Everybody wins a trophy. Everybody's heard that expression, correct? And I know I've heard comments, well, that's not the reality of life because everybody doesn't win a trophy and everybody doesn't get a trophy. What are we teaching our kids today? They get something for participating. You've heard those expressions, right? You've heard those conversations. But I have something that I reminded myself about. When it comes to God's grace in our lives, every single one of us gets a trophy. Think about that. Because of God's grace for our lives, every single one of us gets a trophy. And we get that trophy of grace for no reason at all. We don't even have to participate. And God gives us that trophy of grace. And I think that's going to be a new and a different way that I'm going to be explaining grace to people. Because people try to wrap themselves around the word grace and what it means. And I was taught very young that it means God's unmerited favor to each and every one of us. And that is correct. But in terms of our modern day inferences, our modern day expressions, God's grace means that all of us get a trophy. And perhaps maybe I'll have some of those cheap trophies done. Like those little ones you give out to kids, or maybe those little medallions that actually says God's grace and everybody gets one and you don't even have to participate. Because that's what God's love truly is, for me and for you. And it is in that unmerited favor that God has given us that He wants us to walk with Him every day. To walk with Him as we follow Jesus Christ. To walk with Him with the precepts of perfection that Christ has fulfilled because of what He did on the cross for each and every one of us. I'm doing my best, sir. And it's within those precepts that you and I, God wants us to have our lives lighted, the path of our lives. Everything that we do, everything that we say should reflect of what we believe in Jesus Christ. And so the question is, if we are following the perfection of Jesus Christ, what path are you on right now this morning? What path am I on right now this morning? The path that we are on this morning reflects where we are in our relationship with God. Reflects who we are in our relationship with God. I don't know what path you are on. You do not know what path I am on. But both of those paths reflect who we are as a follower of Jesus Christ. And it is in that path, as we take one step at a time, that God wants us to follow who He is, who He was, and who He will become in our everyday lives. God wants us to get on the right path for our lives. But first, we need to find it. And if you are not on a path that at least makes the effort, and once again, as I talked about before, I try to make the effort to follow the path that Christ wants me to follow. I do deviate from that path. I do step off that path. But God reminds me through the presence of His Holy Spirit to get back on that path. Sometimes I'm a willing participant, and other times I am unwilling, and that He has to take me and drag me back onto the path that I should be on, using the circumstances in my life to correct me and to point me in the right direction, using the circumstances in my life to give me the guidance that I need to have so I can get back on the path that God wants me to follow. And perhaps it is the same way with you. Because with
in the path that God wants us to follow through His Son, Jesus Christ, understanding it is the model of perfection that we will never measure up, but we are to continue to follow and to track and to pursue every day. We are reminded that we are not alone in that process, that God is always there with us, walking by our side as we journey on that path. We are journeying with that path with God together. He has never left us. He has never forsaken us. Even though there are times that we've asked the question why we found ourselves in certain circumstances, we ask ourselves why certain hurts happen to us, certain injustices that happen to us. And I think we should ask those questions of God. I think God is big enough to handle those questions. God is big enough to handle our anger and to handle our frustrations, because God is God. But many times as we are on that path, walking with God, we have different needs. All of us have different needs. We want those needs to be met. We want those needs, not just the physical needs that we all have, but also the need to have compassion. The need that we all have as human beings to want to be loved, to want to be appreciated. The need that every one of us have to somehow live a life that is based on peace and less conflict. Even though we are surrounded by conflict all around us, all of us are looking for the whole idea that as we walk with God, that we want to find that purpose. And we are constantly searching and looking for that truth that represents the purpose that God wants us to follow. We're looking to find God's will for our lives. And many times as we are looking at our needs and we're trying to figure ourselves out, we're trying to know ourselves better, we do things in our lives that what I call is the shotgun effect, right? You throw it all up against the wall and you see what sticks. But God tells us in our walk with Him, as we're journeying down the path, to come before Him with all of our needs. All of the needs that we have in our lives. Everything that we want to pray about. No matter how small or how big. God wants us to come before Him as we look for that light. As we look for the illumination that God wants us to have spiritually to walk with Him. Reminding ourselves that because of what Christ has done for us on the cross, that you and I have received God's grace, that we have received the trophy that was won for us because of what Christ did for us. Nothing that we did at all, but because of God's love, we find ourselves on the path that God wants us to be on because of that relationship through His Son, Jesus Christ. But yet as we journey through life, as we journey through the circumstances, as we try to walk with God on the correct path as much as possibly we can, we find ourselves getting tired, don't we? We find ourselves crying out. There was a chaplain that I used to work with here, and I can't tell you how many times during the week he would just say in a conversation, didn't make any sense, "How long, O Lord, how long?" And doesn't it seem to be that way sometimes? That we just get tired of some of the things that we just have to deal with every day? The challenges that we have? And maybe we not say it in that way in terms of how long, O Lord, but in our hearts and in our minds, we are expressing those words and feelings. How long, Lord? How long do I have to continue on this path that you have put me in? How long do I have to work with the anxieties that I have in my life? How long do I have to work with the emotional issues that I have, the depression that I have? How long do I have to work with the sorrows and the suffering that I'm experiencing, and I'm trying to deal with it in any way that I possibly can? And we become tired. We want to give up. We lose the courage to continue on. But God tells us that as we are on that path following Christ, that when we are tired, that is the time when we just have to reach out to God to help us take that next step, to pick us back up when we have fallen from the exhaustion of just living. Just living in itself. When we've been so overwhelmed by worry, when we feel so inadequate. I shared with someone else this week as we were dealing with a situation that he specifically had, and he was looking for advice. And we had a long conversation, and the next day he texted me and acknowledged the conversation, and he was very appreciative. And I reminded him, as I remind myself, and as I remind all of you, God wants you. God wants you. Regardless of who or what circumstances happens to be kicking you around today, regardless of how inadequate you feel, regardless of how you think that everybody seems to be against you this morning, and all of those things might be true, all of your anxieties, all of your things that you are concerned about, all of your fears. But God has this word for you as He has it for me. God wants you. And it is in that wanting that we truly see the path that God has laid out for us. Maybe not all the way to the end, but maybe just enough to take that one more step that will give us the confidence and the courage that we need to have to take another step. That will give us the confidence and the courage that we need to take another step. And it is in that journey, as we understand, as we follow the path of God, that we can give praise in those circumstances. That we can identify with the fact that you and I have a heritage that is based on faith. A heritage that is based on faith that will last forever into eternity. And there's no way in our finite thinking, the boundaries that we have in terms of the time in which we exist, that we can truly understand what forever really means, what eternity really means. But again and again, the Scriptures remind us that that's what is there for each and every one of us that have acknowledged Jesus Christ within their own lives, that have confessed their sins before God, that invited Christ and the Holy Spirit to come and to be in their life. God knows that you are not perfect. God knows that I am not perfect. But because we know that, God gives us again and again that opportunity for us to mature and to grow in Him. And as we follow that path, as we desire to follow the precepts of God set before us through His Son, Jesus Christ, many times the things that we find ourselves in, the circumstances that we find ourselves in, the best way for us to get out of those circumstances is to say one word, and that is no. No.
I am not going to do that. I am aware of the boundaries that God has given me. And no, I am not going to say that. No, I am not going to do that. No. Because it reveals the control that God has made available to us in our lives. The control for us to make choices. The control that God has given us through His grace. That by our actions, we say no to those things that we need to say no to. The things that create more problems for us than they should. And I know what I need to say no to. You know what you need to say no to. The things that take us off the path that God wants us to be on. The things that we need to say no to that takes us away from the light and we find ourselves in darkness in which we do not know what to do next. The things within our lives that we need to say no to that should be the boundaries in which you and I stay on the path that God has given us. Because God wants you. God loves you. And we say yes to those things that keep us on the path that God wants us to be on. We say yes to those things that keep us in the light so we can take that next step. We say yes to those things that can give us an understanding and a vision about our future. That it's more than just the daily existence in which you and I survive upon a daily basis. Our existence as a follower of Jesus Christ is more than just the daily grind that we have to endure. It gives us that hope in terms of what to look forward to and provides us that understanding that as we take that next step, that we do so without any fear. We do so without any anxiety. We do so understanding that God wants us to go forward in our lives. And He does not want us to look back. He wants us to look forward. He wants us to look forward for us to see that peace that He gives us that passes all of our understanding and comprehension. To give us the whole idea as we go forward, the purpose that God has for each and every one of us. You and I have a will that God wants us to follow. Your will for your life is different than my will for my life when I'm walking with God. But the principles are the same. To stay on that same path. To delight in the things that God wants us to pursue. To say yes to those things that gives us the understanding and the comprehension that we need to have. To create in us the compassion and the love that God wants us to have. To create in us that smile. Not that frown that God wants you to have. Did you smile this morning when you got up and looked in the mirror? I should have. I don't think I did. I actually asked my wife, do I need to brush my teeth this morning? She goes, how do I know? But God wants us to be created in such a way that each day we begin with that smile that reflects the fact that God wants us every day, every moment of every day, with the understanding that as we are walking with God, that you and I have that grace, you and I have that trophy of God's unmerited favor. And because of that, we can do those things each day that we need to do. To say no when we need to say no. To say yes when we need to say yes. And to allow God to do the rest. Hey, that rhymes. Didn't mean it to be that way. But to say no when we need to say no, to say yes when we need to say yes, and to allow God to do the rest. It is my hope and prayer that all of us want to stay on the path as best that we can, allowing God to be working in our lives so that each step is one in which we take forth with faith, with trust, with confidence, and with courage. Amen. Let us prepare our hearts before we partake of communion. And we practice open communion here, which means that if you have a personal relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ, you are welcome to partake of communion with us. Let us pray. Our gracious God, we are so thankful that you have given us this opportunity to just talk to you. The opportunity for us just to examine our lives to see what path that we are on that you want us to follow. Lord, forgive us for not incorporating the grace that you want us to have. Forgive us for the times that we have not said no. Forgive us for the times that we have not said yes. And Lord, we are putting our trust and our confidence in you because of what your Son did for us on the cross. Thank you, God, for forgiving us of our sins and loving us just the way we are this morning. In Christ's name, amen. Receive from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us partake together. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let us partake together. Our closing hymn is number 414, Softly and Tenderly. Number 414, Softly and Tenderly.
Is calling for you and for me. Come home, come home. You who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling a sinner, come home. Why should we tarry when Jesus is pleading, pleading for you and for me? Why should we linger and heed not his memory, mercies for you and for me? Come home, come home, you who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner, come home. Time is now fleeting, the moments are passing, passing from you and from me. Shadows are gathering, deathbeds are coming, coming for you and for me. Come home, come home, you who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner, come home. Oh, for the wonderful love he has promised, promised for you and for me. Though we have sinned, he has mercy and pardon, pardon for you and for me. Come home, come home, you who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner, come home.
Amen. Let us pray. God, we are so thankful that you have given us the opportunity to walk on the path that you want us to be on, to call us home, each and every one of us. And we know that that home, Lord, is full of your love. And God, we can sense the embracing of your Spirit right now, embracing us with that love, as it is our desire to come home to you. Help us, God, to stay on that path. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding be with you now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you for coming.